Good afternoon, Farm News, here on the Red River Farm Network on this Friday, August 17th. I'm Kara Hart, along with Megan Turnquist in studio. We'll also hear an update from Don Wick. We start this broadcast with Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, and the North Dakota Mill. And Marrero, North Dakota farmer Jared Haggard is taking a break from harvest to repair equipment. He plans to be back in the combine harvesting wheat on Monday.
Kind of a little bit of a touch-and-go situation. We're sitting here now. We're kind of running to some green wheat, you know. But the seed production we have, it's, you know, you just got to be patient. Quality seems to be pretty nice, you know. For the most part, we've been in that 13.5 to 14.5 range. Which is pretty decent. You know, you can live with that.
Haggard continues.
I think we've got about 5 good days ago, and you know, it takes a little bit of time to clean the combines out and grain cart. We've got a few different seed varieties to do, and some specialty wheat to do, some white wheat.
The end of spring wheat harvest is in sight for farmers in northeast North Dakota. Based in Lakota, Huso Crop Consulting owner Mark Huso says yield and protein reports vary depending on rainfall and variety. Huso calls this year's wheat crop average to above average for the region.
So we have some farms that are quite happy with their yields and their proteins, and we have some farms that were disappointed in both yield and protein. Certainly, varietal differences will show up big time this year. A lot of stress happened. We had some bacterial leaf streak on a few varieties that seemed to have affected it more than we anticipated. We did notice scab, and we were finishing up the scouting more so based on variety. We did find some ergot in fields also based on variety. Not enough, I think, will affect the sample too much. Very little disease factors otherwise.
Huso expects the majority of wheat harvest to wrap up by next week. Farmers in the region will then move straight into canola and pinto bean harvest.
Well, so far we only have 2 reports of canola harvest yields. And again, I'm going to call it average, maybe a slightly above average. Still too early to tell. But with the heat we faced in May and June, I was a little concerned for the canola yields. But so far, I seem to be satisfied. Pinto beans will be a little different. I think the pinto bean yields are going to be a little shorter than we're used to. The heat seemed to have affected that a little more so than the canola. But we'll be starting pinto bean harvest for a few guys next week. But majority of the fields are being desiccated in the next week.
Wheat harvest is halfway complete for Wimbledon, North Dakota farmer Joe Erickson.
It was about a couple days, 2-3 days to get done. It was average yield, nothing spectacular. It looked nice in the field. There was no notice of any disease or anything, so that was a plus. We put it all in the bin for storage for winter delivery, get a little better carry in the market that way. Otherwise, we'll be getting back here probably next week. We'll start up again with the other. We probably got half done with 150 acres, so we probably got about 150 left. And that should wrap up wheat harvest for us, and then you're ready for beans.
And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by the North Dakota Mill, U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council.
2 possible cases of Palmer amaranth are being investigated in North Dakota. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has the details in this report.
A sample submitted to the University of Illinois Plant Clinic was positively identified as Palmer amaranth. State officials have now ordered extensive DNA analysis to confirm that finding. Palmer amaranth is a type of pigweed that has devastated crops, particularly in the South. This weed has been found in South Dakota and Minnesota, but if confirmed, this discovery would be a first for North Dakota. The North Dakota Department of Agriculture has an action plan in place. If confirmed, the weeds will be hand-pulled and destroyed, and the site will be monitored for a minimum of 3 years. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
Thanks, Don. The North Dakota Grain Dealers Association Executive Vice President Stu Letcher says grain elevators are on the front line of trade disputes with farmers, and this year's harvest preparation isn't out of the ordinary. Elevators are waiting to see what happens with soybeans.
The guys that are equipped to store soybeans will probably do that, you know, if it's bunkers and you know, things like that. I think we'll see the same amount. And there might be some consideration for, piling. But, that's a concern as well, because while we would encourage a quick resolution to, the trade dispute, you're just not exactly sure. And there's a lot of risk involved with, storing soybeans long term if you don't have the infrastructure to do it.
Letcher says it may or may not hurt elevators to store beans this year.
You got to weigh the risk of quality loss in a pile versus, losing the handle on the soybeans. But if there is no market, nobody's going to be moving beans, so they're going to have to be, put somewhere. Hopefully, more can be held on farm.
Scattered showers moved through eastern South Dakota and far southwestern Minnesota yesterday. World Weather Incorporated reports rainfall of 2.85 inches near the southwest Minnesota-Iowa border. The rest of the northern plains remained dry. Periods of showers and thunderstorm activity are likely tomorrow and Sunday, with a majority of the rainfall expected in South Dakota and central Minnesota. Conditions will remain most stressful for crops in Montana and western North Dakota.
Reuters is reporting two seed dealers, Bex Hybrids and Stein Seed, are pushing U.S. environmental regulators to limit spraying of dicamba to the spring season before crops are planted. This would prevent farmers from using the herbicide on dicamba-resistant soybeans. The companies are the two largest independent seed sellers in the U.S.
USDA has purchased approximately 227 hundredweight of pinot beans for distribution to child nutrition and other domestic food assistance programs. The purchase is valued at nearly $10.8 million. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're in tune with the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. During President Trump's Thursday cabinet meeting, Trump cited the trade dispute between the U.S. and China and its impact on agriculture. Trump also referred to the farm economy.
They are, I hear, despite everything, they're starting to really do well. They got out there like they are. They're incredible patriots, but they're incredible entrepreneurs. And they're selling the corn and the corn, and they're selling the soybean, and they're selling everything at levels that are soon going to be pretty good levels. And, our farmers have been hurt for 15 and 20 years. A lot of bad things were happening. And I talk about soybeans, where prior to my election, if you go 5 years back, soybean prices were cut by 50%. So this was happening long before us.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue said farmers are dealing with price constraints, but he supports the Trump administration's tough stance on trade. At the same meeting, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said trade negotiations with Mexico are underway and there's hope for a breakthrough within a matter of days. Trump held firm, saying any trade deal has to be fair.
If you don't have a breakthrough, as you call it, don't do the deal, because it's a lousy situation for the United States. We have much better alternatives than that. You understand?
Yes,
so if you can't make the right deal, don't make it. All right? You know that. I only tell them that every day.
Trump's comments are garnering some farmer feedback this morning, questioning Trump's understanding of agriculture.
Lawmakers will be cutting it close to get a farm bill signed before the September 30th deadline. In the Cook Political Report, House editor David Wasserman's opinion is this year's farm bill is the same old song and dance, but expects an extension on the bill.
Keep in mind that many Republicans in the Senate don't just represent heavily Republican districts, but rather entire states with large urban areas that are dependent on nutrition assistance. And so the likelihood is that we see an extension of the current farm bill that's pretty short-term, and that the eventual conference report that comes out of the joint House-Senate process looks a little bit more like the Senate bill and ends up finally passing the House with some Democratic votes. That's my best estimate.
Wasserman thinks the next available opportunity to pass the legislation could be in a lame duck session of Congress.
Most of farm country would rather have it done sooner than later, but there is a preoccupation with the repercussions of tariffs as well, and that's going to be a key theme in farm districts this fall.
Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Wertisch thinks there is an urgency to pass the farm bill.
Farmers Union will be out in D.C. in the mid-September lobbying on the fly or on our, during our normal fly-in and lobbying for the farm bill to get a farm bill passed that actually has a safety net that does protect the farmers. We do need a certainty. You know, you always, farmer always has the uncertainties. You always have uncertainties with the weather. And some to some affect the markets. You know, you can do some marketing ahead of time, but, you know, the trade talks, just that was a completely unexpected. And it's something that the farmer was not prepared for. And, so we do need to fix that issue and get beyond that.
The North Dakota Department of Agriculture is warning farmers about the possibility of individuals impersonating state employees. Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring says the department has fielded calls from concerned farmers about individuals acting in an official capacity, taking photos and samples of wheat fields. NDDA has not found authorization for any work of this type and advises farmers to ask individuals for credentials and the reason for inquiring a crop sample.
Advanced Trading market analyst Tommy Grisafi says the markets are trading based on the weather. He thinks the market is underestimating the soybean crop losses in North Dakota and Minnesota. He has expectations for next week's Pro Farmer Crop Tour.
I think they'll see a tiny bit, little bit more variability than you think. Obviously, the crop tour tends to go through pretty good areas. They sometimes miss the outskirts, so they don't even make it to North Dakota. They don't hit Missouri. They just kind of buzz through the Midwest, and the Midwest where they're going to go through is pretty good crops. There will always be some variability, but I think people will be pleasantly surprised with yields.
Grisafi will join the Red River Farm Network for the upcoming Big Iron Farm Show on Wednesday, September 12th. And as a reminder, be sure to visit us. We'll be on the grounds at the Big Iron Farm Show September 11th through 13th in West Fargo. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
Well, this is a look into expanding pulse industry out in the western part of the state. I've looked at Stone Mill LLC at Richardton, North Dakota. That's being headed by Ambrose Huff's family, but especially his daughter Deneen Dressler and her husband Ty. They are just put up a new facility west of the old one, along south of I-94 there. That is very impressive, and they do a lot of flaxseed and garbanzos and other kinds of pulses. So kind of an interesting look at the expanding pulse industry, especially in the organic area.
Most of that going into the domestic market?
Yeah, the domestic market is really what they're using these days. It started out as a Middle East export thing, but the market's grown so much in the United States for that kind of thing that they don't really have to worry about the export picture so much.
Wow, that's an improvement, isn't it?
I would say it's a change, and it certainly this in this difficult trade tariff world with other kinds of crops and exports. Kind of an interesting breath of fresh air.
Sounds interesting, Mikkel. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. September Minneapolis wheat up 11 and a quarter at 607 and a half. September Chicago wheat up 15 and a half at 557 and three quarters. September Kansas City wheat up 15. September corn down 2 3/4 at 362 and a half. December corn down 2 3/4 at 377. September beans down 13 at 872 and a half. November beans down 13 at 884. In livestock markets, October live cattle up 87 cents at 110.15. November feeder cattle up 37 cents at 150.72. October lean hogs up $2.07 at 57.55. On the farm calendar, Dakota Fest underway starting next week. Be sure to tune in to the Red River Farm Network. We'll be providing updates from the event. This is the Red River Farm Network.